Good morning and welcome to this Drive Time Hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, live on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Daily in-depth news conversation and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your guest host today, Eric Smith, in for Zach this morning. So today we've got a pretty exciting show for you. We're going to split it up into two main segments here. First, we're going to talk with one of the startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation, the Startup Incubator Network for the university. We're going to talk with David Veely of Solar Space. We're going to find out a little bit about what he's doing, how it impacts our community, and what the implications are for the future. And from there, we're going to switch over to Devin Underwood with Your Talent Store. We're going to talk a little bit about talent. The people will maybe start with some startups and move into what folks can do when they have established companies. So up first, though, we've got David Veely here with Solar Space. Welcome, David.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here. We might be having a little mic issue. All right, now we're good. All right, let's try that again. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
All right, there we go. Fantastic.
Mic's working, right?
Yes, the mic is step one. Make sure the mic works. We got that covered now. So, David, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be with Solar Space.
Well, I'm a first-generation immigrant. I came from the country of Georgia in Eastern Europe, and I came in 1992, so I've been here, you know, most of half of my life. I saw this technology at Biosphere 2, and I was just mesmerized. And I was like, I gotta do something, you know, to, my part to save the world and save the, you know, planet from destruction that we're causing. So I jumped directly into it.
Fantastic. So you say this technology. What is the core technology at Solar Space?
So technology that we have at our company called Solar Space is was developed at the University of Arizona. It's a very, very cutting-edge technology. It's about, you know, 10 years at least, you know, in the future. So what it does is we concentrate the sunlight into a focal point at very high concentration. It's called constrained solar power. And, you know, sun is so much energy that we have to learn how to harvest it. And this technology allows us to go a little bit farther than what we have today.
All right. So I think we all have experienced in some way or another solar power. And so, if I'm hearing you correctly, you take the sun, you concentrate it more than the technologies that we're
currently.
Okay.
So, pretty much, I mean, we all played with the sun when we were young, right? We had the magnifying glass and we all started the fire. So, it's something very similar. So, what we do is we bend the light and we concentrate in a focal point. So, our technology gives us about 1,000 sun concentration, which is humongous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the power that it gives, we can just melt metal in like less than 8 seconds. We just put a hole into it.
So outside of harnessing the sun to make what I would imagine to be, you know, a really powerful weapon, what does this mean practically? How are you taking your ability to harness the sun and create more solar power? And what are you doing with that in your company?
Right. So we have two technologies. One is we generate electricity directly from that concentration. So the technology is called multi-junction solar cells. It's pretty much the same thing that's used on the spacecrafts up in the space, but, you know, on this much smaller scale, and we concentrate it, you know. So that gives us ability to generate electricity with very, very high efficiencies. But on top of that, we have another technology that allows us to store the energy. So because we have so much concentration, we generate a lot of heat. And then we can store this heat as a thermal energy and then use it at later time, you know, to generate electricity back. And we don't need any lithium-ion batteries. That's the whole beauty of it. So mm-hmm. we can just avoid it fully.
Solving some of the major problems those see.
Yeah.
Very good. So let's bring it down to our listeners.
Sure.
Right? So
sure.
What does that mean for us? How would we interact with this technology? Where are you going to deploy this, and how might we know that it's benefiting us, maybe even here in this community?
Yeah, so what we decided and what we saw that there were, where is the biggest need for this technology right now, right? And I think we can all agree that we are in the EV revolution, right? And either we, you know, have electric cars, or we're thinking about it, or we know someone who does.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest problem is when we go on the highways, you know, everybody's concerned, oh, am I going to run out of juice, and what am I going to do there, right? And to build the EV stations on the highways, that's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it requires a lot of you know, power lines and just like a lot of crazy money and a lot of time and bureaucracy and whatnot. So that's where we want to step in. We want to build electric charging stations on the highways. That's our business model. So next time you take your, you know, electric car and you're driving and on a highway you want to pull over and recharge, and hopefully you see a solar space sign. That's going to be us.
I'll take it. So for those of us, you know, maybe that have been hesitant to participate in the EV portion of the automotive industry, more than likely it's because if I'm in Tucson and I want to get up in the morning, get in the car, drive up to Phoenix, drive around all day, drive back, maybe hit some traffic, I might be a little concerned, right? And so what you're saying is, well, there's going to be this charging station potentially, you know, between here and there, that if you're running out of juice, you can quickly come, charge up, get ready to go.
Yeah, pretty much. So with your scenario, you know, on your way back, somewhere in Casa Grande, you're going to have a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're going to be. And the idea behind our technology as well is we will be able to charge your car in less than 10 minutes.
Okay.
Right? So right now, it's going to take you 45 minutes or, you know, 30 minutes at least. But, you know, with us, we want to have you gotten back on the road luckily in less than 10 minutes.
So let me ask you this, right? Because as we'll continue on this example, as we're driving from Tucson to Phoenix, there's a lot of gas stations,
right?
And so, you know, those of us with gas vehicles will stop at the gas station and fuel up. Why aren't the gas stations able to just include more solar charging with the current technology? Why is it that solar space needs to come in and be the solution provider for this?
Sure, very fair question. So what happens is electric charging, you know, for electrical cars requires a lot of juice, like a lot of juice. And those gas stations physically don't have enough power.
Mm.
And by the time it takes, again, it's only about money and bureaucracy, right? Everything is possible. Everything is doable. It's just how much it's going to cost. For those stations to upgrade their I guess, the infrastructure for the grid, again, very big bureaucracy, a lot of cost.
Mm-hmm.
And our business model is also involving retrofitting those stations. So hopefully, you know, the gas station that you're used to will also offer you solar space charging.
Mm-hmm. So for us Tucsonans that want to make that drive, right, and come back successfully without being stranded at the Loves out there, what kind of timeline are we looking at? You know, how can I plan, you know, so I can buy my first Tesla, right, and know that I can make those road trips in and out of Tucson? What kind of timeline are we talking about?
Well, ideally, we want to have our first stations up and running in less than 2 years. And we're starting here in Arizona, of course, and then hopefully go nationwide. But, our first few stations will be around Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully it's going to impact us here locally in the first place. So we guess they have to start making changes locally, right? And then go global.
Okay, that makes total sense. So we have about a minute left.
Okay.
So in less than a minute, tell me about the origins of this technology.
Oh, this was developed by University of Arizona astrophysicist, you know, great, great minds. And there is nothing similar to it in the world, not even close.
So the technology was bred from, you know, the university right here in Tucson, Arizona.
Absolutely.
And
bright, bright minds.
And it's going to go out and solve these problems for the rest of the world, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'll take it. Fantastic. So again, we're here with David Vili, who's Solar Space, talking about all this technology. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about why you're doing this here in Tucson.
Absolutely.
So you're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
With real people. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. 1030 The Voice.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Located in the open-air Mercado San Agustin Annex just west of downtown, it's a great place to shop or spend time with friends as you enjoy food, drink, and other shopping options close by. Find gifts, toys, books, and clothes that will help you celebrate where you live. Visit them at the Annex off the I-10 at Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Zach Yenser here. I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger this fall here in Tucson, located just two doors down from the Rialto Theater. Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, Hub ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Starting October 20th, Little Love Burger is open Sunday to Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Thursday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook. Tucson, don't you want some burger to love?
The playoff race is heating up for FC Tucson. On Wednesday, October 13th, FC Tucson celebrates those who have helped the community heal with flares of Frontline Workers Night. The team for all of Tucson is back at home on Saturday, October 16th. Before closing out the regular season Saturday, October 30th, we'll get ready for Halloween and Dia de los Muertos and the playoffs with Fan Appreciation Night. Get your tickets now at fctucson.com/tickets or call 520-600-3095.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's the nearly 60 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges currently under construction, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Helping you make better money decisions is what The Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
Welcome back to Tipping Point with Zach Yenser live on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. I am your guest host, Eric Smith, in for Zach this morning. This segment is sponsored by Little Love Burger, opening downtown on October 20th. Little Love Burger will serve up the juiciest burgers, loaded hot dogs, Hub ice cream milkshakes, local brews, and breakfast sandwiches. Follow their beat on social at Little Love Burger. Wow, that sounds pretty good there. But for today, I'm here with David Vili, CEO and co-founder of Solar Space. The first segment, we spoke a little bit about the technology. Just as a summary, we've got a concentrated solar power technology that'll be deployed to allow those that are interested in electric vehicles and having electric vehicles to get on the road for a little bit longer through charging stations powered by Solar Space's technology. David, welcome back. And what I want to talk about for this segment, let's bring it down to Tucson a little bit. So you're here, you're in a studio with me in Tucson, Arizona. Yeah. How long have you been operating out of Tucson?
Just a few months. I mean, I live in Scottsdale, and when we got into the U of A, Center for Innovation, I decided to, you got to be on the ground, right? So I left my family in Scottsdale, moved here, and, working midnight oils, right? We're burning. So we're at the office until, I don't know, 2, 3 a.m., a lot of times. So you got to be here, right?
The life of an entrepreneur, never sleep.
There is no other way.
Yes, we're taking down the coffee industry or supporting the coffee industry one cup at a time, right?
So, yeah.
Very good. So you came here to Tucson. Why Tucson?
Well, because I'm very tight with the University of Arizona, right? Everything mm-hmm. is based here. All the people are based here. So, logically, I had to be here as well. And, what better place to nourish and start something than here locally? And I get so much love and so much support. And, it's just amazing. There's nothing similar that I could have done somewhere else, quite honestly. And,
We love to hear that as one of Tucson's biggest super fans. Yeah. I love when we're bringing smart minds like you to come in and grow companies here. So let's talk a little bit about the future of Solar Space. Do you see that you'll stay here in Tucson? That you'll start the product development and sales and even deployment of the technology here in Southern Arizona? I don't think there's any wrong answer necessarily, but how do you plan on growing this company from Tucson?
Yeah, I mean, our plan is to build a R&D center here. And there's so much bright minds that we need to hire and move this forward. But also, what I want to do is, and hopefully, we'll just life will show us and God will guide us. But we have to set up a manufacturing facility somewhere, and I'm looking at setting up somewhere close to Tucson.
So, what does it take to manufacture the technology that you're talking about deploying? I mean, my assumption is that if we look into the future, 5 or 10 years. That we'll see those Solar Space signs on the side of the highway all across the nation. So really, truly, what kind of infrastructure do you need to build to make that happen?
That's a very good question and very, very complicated question as well. So our technology is very high tech, right? So a lot of stuff will need to have automation, to make it precision, But then again, my belief is that people are the value, not the things. Mm. So we want to balance between, you know, having automation, fully automation, or having some people, you know, on the conveyor belts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm more for that. You know, I mean, I don't want technology to replace us people. You know, I think technology is supposed to support us, not replace us, right? But there's a very fine line. How do we, you know, make sure that we have enough people and then, you know, enough technology to run it? And that's the challenge that I want to tackle with, you know, U of A's help.
I love to hear that, and perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about next with you. And of course, we're going to have Devin Underwood on the later half of the show, who is, you know, the talent expert that we have on the show here. But when it comes to finding talent for such a, you know, novel company, for something that could have large implications, what kind of talent are you going to need in the short term, let's say the next year, and then, you know, let's say the next 5 years after that? What are you going to be looking for?
Oh, man, we need the full pool of talent. Right now, it's only a team of five for us, right? Mm. And we're building very fast and we're growing really fast. So our technology is hardware-based and also software-based, right? So we need engineers to build stuff and innovate, as well as software engineers. And, you know, all the marketing and management team that comes with it. But, you know, core value is bright people who want to create something new and go forward, right? And, you know, the motivation is not let's go buy a Ferrari. Motivation is let's save the world. Let's save the earth. You know, like, look what we're doing for the last 20, 30 years, decades. Mm. And if we continue this way, and if we don't change something, you know, our kids going to end up in, you know, Mad Max.
Mm.
I don't want that for my kids. And I don't think any of us do, right? So we all got to do something.
Yes, I would agree after seeing the movie. I would hope that we don't end up in a Mad Max world.
I hope so, but we're going that way, man. I mean, we just have to wake up.
So, and it's interesting because, you know, I would love to support saving the world. I feel that, you know, as somebody who runs an incubator, this is what we do daily, because we have 57 startups with entrepreneurs like you that are solving major problems for the marketplace. Of course, selfishly, I would like to save the world and drive a Ferrari. I wouldn't mind
electric
that.
Ferrari. How
yeah,
about
there
that?
You go.
Much faster, right?
An electric Ferrari. But you need the people to do it, and so, you know, it sounds like a lot of the talent that you're talking about is, you know, pretty specialized. But my assumption is that in addition to some of the engineers and so on that you just referenced, that there's probably a number of individuals with, you know, basic skills that'll be required, or specialized labor skills that can support what you're hoping to manufacture across the country.
Oh, absolutely. And again, we're starting up right now, so we're going to need all types of, you know, workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So then again, you know, I believe in high-paying jobs, right? I grew up in Eastern Europe. You know, everything was small. Everybody knew each other. And that's one of the reasons why I like Tucson. Everybody knows each other. It's like a small community.
Mm-hmm.
You're cooking something, you need salt, you go to a neighbor. You know, that's what you do. And same thing. So we have to support each other and bring everything up. And, you know, good-paying jobs is one of them. I don't believe in trying to squeeze a dime out of everything, right? Mm-hmm. I think you have to give.
Mm.
And the more you give, the better everybody is, the better the society becomes. And I think that's the way we should be heading.
Absolutely. So when you're thinking about this, and this will be the hard question here, and I'm not Zach Yenser, so it's going to be far easier.
Okay, I'll take it.
than some of the really good, juicy, hard questions that Zach asked to get us thinking. But Tucson, you know, sometimes I feel that when we talk about talent in Tucson, we find ourselves in this dilemma where there are those that are out of work and are finding it hard to obtain jobs. And then there are those that, like you, are gearing up to hire a bunch of people but can't necessarily find them. So it's really interesting. And I just, you know, I always thought, man, if we just had, you know, a better way of match.comming all of this, we'd be okay. So do you, my question is, do you think it's possible to find the talent that you're looking for here locally?
Absolutely. And not only that, I think, and I see this, it's happening right now, everybody's quitting the jobs and they just, you know, just fed up with it, right?
Mm.
But I think it's all about, you know, how much they pay and how much lifestyle they give them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how much freedom you have out of a job. I mean, if you're stressed about a job, you don't want to do it. You want to be happy. You want to enjoy your family. You want to enjoy things you do. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, people are freeing up. But if you give them that respect, if you give them good enough pay, you know, like if you give them all this stuff, I don't think that's, you know, talent is there. Talent is definitely there, and people want to work.
Mm.
I mean, so far we haven't had that problem, and I hope, you know, we're okay on this track.
So So once again, over here with David Vili, CEO and co-founder of Solar Space, a startup here in Tucson, Arizona, and an individual who moved here to do this.
Oh, yeah.
And from what I'm hearing, an individual who plans to stay here. This is being recorded, so you know, make sure you say yes deeply into
yes.
the microphone.
Okay, very good. That is the plan.
And hire here as well. So, you know, really exciting. So the last question that I'll ask you in the remaining 2 minutes that we have, you know, one of the reasons why I love talking with local startups and blasting out there what it is you're doing. In addition to the fact that it's great to show the community all of the incredible technologies that are being worked on here, is I love the community to understand who you are and what you need. So for all the listeners out there and all the connections that our listeners have, David, what does Solar Space need from the community in the short term to be successful? What are you looking for now?
I think we all have to support the movement of electrification, right? Mm. We all do. We all have to play our part, right? We all have to recycle. We all have to, you know, try to use less of fossil fuels. And that's going to help everybody. And, you know, that's the only way we can all work as a society to build a better future. It's going to help us and other companies in the field as well. And build a better future for our kids, really. But we all got to do our part, man. Mm. There's no one magical solution for everything.
It's I like
every
it.
Single one of us.
Back on the save the world.
That's my motto. That's what I believe in, at least.
So if somebody wanted to reach out and help you, David, if they wanted to offer you a connection... or anything else, how can they do that? How can they reach you?
Yeah, please come to our website, solarspace.io, and there's a contact in us, you know, section, and you can just, you know, get all the information from there. Solarspace.io.
All right, you heard it here first, solarspace.io. So once again, we're here with David Vili, CEO and co-founder of Solar Space. David, final words in the last 30 seconds that we have here for our community about what you're doing and what you're looking for.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me, and great place, Tucson is great, great. I mean, I love it. And we're just going to continue, you know, that's all it is. Just keep the warm welcome as the Tucson's do.
I absolutely love it. And what we're going to do now is I'm going to take that, I'm going to put it in quotes, I'm going to put it on a big billboard.
Deal.
Great, great place is Tucson. I love it. Absolutely. We'll put that billboard on the highway right next to a Solar Space charging station for everybody with those EV vehicles. David Vili, CEO and co-founder of Solar Space, startup here in Tucson. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning. And solarspace.io, please reach out to David if you think that you can help him or you want to learn more. And to that said, coming up next, we're going to be back with Devin Underwood. We're going to continue the conversation about talent here in Tucson, its implications on economic development for our region. So stay tuned for that exciting conversation. Once again, this is 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Playoff race is heating up for FC Tucson. On Wednesday, October 13th, FC Tucson celebrates those who have helped the community heal with Fuerza Frontline Workers Night. The team for all of Tucson is back at home on Saturday, October 16th. Before closing out the regular season Saturday, October 30th, we'll get ready for Halloween and Dia de los Muertos and the playoffs with Fan Appreciation Night. Get your tickets now at fctucson.com/tickets or call 520-600-3095.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's the nearly 60 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges currently under construction, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk, or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at MassMutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030 The Voice.
Good morning and welcome back to Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. If you're just joining us, I'm your host today, Eric Smith, standing in for Zach this morning, and we are with guest Devin Underwood talking about talent. We're going to talk about talent in 30 minutes here in two quick segments. We're going to talk about talent all the way from startup to established company and what we can do. We're going to solve this whole entire issue today in 30 minutes. Devin, welcome to the show.
Eric, you are not setting me up for success. 30 minutes to solve that whole puzzle.
That's very true.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Excited. Earlier in the segment, we were talking with David Veeley of Solar Space, who is a startup. You might actually know David as well, as not only, Devin, do you play many roles in our community, you run Your Talent Store, an incredible operation here in town, finding talent for the companies that need it. And you are also a subject matter expert in team and board development for our operation at the incubator at the university. So I think you've got a really good perspective to share with us.
I am, yeah. And I get to see and play in lots of different areas around workforce development and talent. And I'm always learning something new.
Yes. We should ever strive to be learning. So in the previous segment, we were talking with David about talent, and now he plans to grow his company here in Tucson, and he's going to need quite a bit of staff. This is everything from skilled laborers to engineers and beyond, with the hope of creating some high-paying jobs for us here. Now, he's a startup, and startups have, I would say, probably different needs than established companies when it comes to hiring and different resources to play with. Devin, can you shed some light on maybe some of the differences that you've seen when working with startup companies and what they're looking for when we say, talent acquisition?
Mm-hmm. I think, it depends on in what stage, but initially, I think talent and that piece of the business puzzle is the hardest bridge for an entrepreneur to cross in terms of how they see their business and organization. And I say this because, I've made the mistake or put myself out there as telling companies that they're employers. And I hear so often from people, you need to stop calling companies employers. But really, that's who you are going to become. And that is the biggest mental bridge to make for a lot of entrepreneurs to cross, is to understand that even at the stage of your business plan, there's a part where you need to think about who are you going to be as an employer. And that can be initially as partnering with, when you're very low resourced. So that initial stage where you are just business planning, road mapping, and product developing. You have limited resources, you're going out for financing and funding, and you still have to get things done. And so being able to view yourself as needing to partner with different people at different stages in the business to get these things done gives you that sort of step between understanding that you're going to become an employer. And an employer could be a big employer where you build a product and you become the manufacturer of it and the distributor of it and all those things. It could also be that you build a product and you just license it. But there's still a core team that needs to exist there. And so thinking about that, I want to encourage it to be done early and often. And I think the first challenge is the resources. And so how do you get people on board? How do you get them excited about what you're doing? Without money, you know, at that early stage is one of the first conversations I'm having with people.
So you mentioned timeline a little bit. And so if I'm an entrepreneur and I'm just starting out now, we work with tech entrepreneurs, those that are building companies based on some really new, cool core technology. But we don't have to necessarily focus there. If I'm an entrepreneur in general, is it ever too early to start thinking about that employer mindset? If I know I need to grow people, can I put that off, or does that need to be a part of my strategy from the get-go?
I think it needs to be a part of what you're thinking about from the get-go. Those that just start thinking about it once they have money to hire are really behind in the thought work, concept and understanding of who they need to become to hire people. And so I would say it's in the strategic road mapping and business planning stage is where you need to start talking about it. And I know at UACI, Anita and I are working together brainstorming how do we get in front of these entrepreneurs earlier to get them to start the thought work around it. You know, if you're laying out your business stages, so right now we're in tech and product development, and let's say it's a bio company, and so that entails lab work, it entails testing, maybe not quite to the clinical trial stage, but some pre-work on that. What does that mean for who you're going to need and at what stage? What are those triggers that are going to tell you, okay, we need to figure this out and solve this with another skilled person on the team? And then laying out the roadmap of your business from there. You know, we've got the product. Now we're going to have to go into clinical trials. We're going to have to get through that FDA process. What does that mean? What can be outsourced? What can be contracted? But who do we need internally? Maybe you decide nearly all of it could be outsourced or contracted, but you still need a centralized project manager. But those are all things you think about in the how do we get this done in the best way possible to get us to the next stage. Once you're through that, now you're in kind of go-to-market strategy. So who do I need and what expertise do I need to then get this product either licensed or in front of the right people, or to outsource the development of the product, or to sell it, right? So you're looking at business development, you're looking at logistics, you're looking at manufacturing partnerships. And so there's all of these different pieces, and you can really start the thought work on those early as you're doing your business plan and roadmap.
You know, it makes a lot of sense, and we work with entrepreneurs daily, and oftentimes we hear, you know, the various stages of the planning process they're going through. I need to get through these clinical trials, or we need to validate the technology, manufacture the product. And usually it's focused on the technology, and maybe outside of the tech world we hear, you know, let's say we're starting up a food truck. Well, I need to buy the truck, and then I need to outfit the stuff, and I need to make sure that I have food. And it's interesting because very rarely do we hear, and here are the people that we need to actually make that happen. And so what you're saying is, in with every task that you're talking about, there are people that need to make that happen. And think about it now, not when you need them and all of a sudden you need to defeat a blank paper, write a job description and post it on Indeed. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Exactly, yes. And be creative, particularly in the startup space. How do I get that subject matter expertise or skill in creative ways onto my team? And so that's where we work around, you know, what is a contractor versus a hire? Mm-hmm. What can you build subject matter expertise-wise on your advisory board? Mm-hmm. And that can then be somebody that then grows into an executive or maybe a board member down way down the road once you get there. You know, there's different ways to put the puzzle together. But thinking about the what you need to get done linked or aligned with who then you need to do it is really important in business planning.
Yeah, and it's another good point because, you know, if you ask any entrepreneur what it is that they need, the first thing they'll say is money. I mean, you know, if you ask me what I need, I might say money as well. But you know, you're talking about some of these things, you know, contractors versus hire, you know, bringing some subject matter expertise on through advisors. Some of these things you can do without a ton of money, specifically with some of those advisory roles. Are there any other, you know, tactics that entrepreneurs can think about in about the minute that we have left here, you know, for resource-strapped entrepreneurs to bring on mindshare to their team?
Yeah, I mean, definitely tap into the local startup ecosystem. There's a lot of resources in Mindshare there. There's internship programs you can put together, partnering with the university. Being part of UACI is an incredible resource-rich move to make as you're going through your startup. All of those areas you can get help. But if you don't know who you are and what you need to get done, and who you are means who you are, who you're becoming, and what your offer is, what makes it exciting to be a part of what you're doing, and then what you need to get done, you can't pitch it to anybody to join the team.
Absolutely.
And so all of that work's really important to get out there and get the right people attached.
All right. Well, thank you, Devin. So we solved the first half of the equation when you're a startup, how you get talent. Coming up here after the break, we're going to solve the second half when you're an established company and you're looking for talent. How do you do that? So stay tuned. Once again, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk all morning on 1030 The Voice.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Located in the open-air Mercado San Agustin Annex just west of downtown, it's a great place to shop or spend time with friends as you enjoy food, drink, and other shopping options close by. Find gifts, toys, books, and clothes that will help you celebrate where you live. Visit them at the Annex off the I-10 at Cushing and Avenida del Convento. You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
The playoff race is heating up for FC Tucson. On Wednesday, October 13th, FC Tucson celebrates those who have helped the community heal with Fuerza Frontline Workers Night. The team for all of Tucson is back at home on Saturday, October 16th. Before closing out the regular season Saturday, October 30th, we'll get ready for Halloween and Dia de los Muertos and the playoffs with Fan Appreciation Night. Get your tickets now at fctucson.com/tickets or call 520-600-3095.
Zach Yenser here. I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger this fall here in Tucson. Located just two doors down from the Rialto Theater, Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, hub ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Starting October 20th, Little Love Burger is open Sunday to Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Thursday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook. Tucson, don't you want some burger to love?
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI The Voice.
And welcome back to Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, daily in-depth news conversation and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. You're just joining us. I'm your host today, Eric Smith, standing in for Zach this morning. And we are with Devin Underwood, solving all the talent problems that every company has in every stage of their life cycle. Though I'm a jokester, we are given some good hints here. And in the previous segment, we spoke about startups and their approaches to acquiring talent, and specifically how to do so with constrained resources. And Devin spoke a little bit about planning this from the get-go. So as you're thinking about a technology or the core of any business, really understanding what the needs are for the people to make that happen. She gave us a couple of hints, on how to do that, such as bringing on advisors that might represent executives later on, really understanding contractors and how you can utilize contractors versus, employee hires. We went through a couple of strategies for that. And so let's fast forward a little bit now for this final segment here and talk about the company maybe once it's established. And so you've got your product technology launched, you've gone through the business planning phase, the tech development phase, you're going to market, and you're thinking, wow, I've got some resources now. I need to hire people. Let's say I'm a company in Tucson. I don't know what to do. I call Devin. Devin, what do you say?
Yeah, so there's really two ways we help people. We either, they outsource that work to us, or we help them build it internally. Building it internally is expensive, and it's really meant for those companies that are just going to continue to scale. So there's two ways to look at it. And we kind of divide it between the staff level or those hires that you always need to be making. These are going to be continuous hires, continuous needs in your company. We call that pipelining. And then there's those key positions and executive positions, those leadership roles that you need to hire that can be a little more unicorn or purple squirrel, to use recruiting talk, and are, impactful hires that you want to be long-term matches. And that's how we help people in those two ways. Pipelining really looks at how do we build you an employer brand, how do we get you in the market, and how do we consistently advertise, campaign, and pipeline that candidate type, that skill type, to your organization so that you have people to be talking to and interviewing and choosing from and giving yourself more options. And then on the other side, it's really more of a recruiting headhunting model where we're going out. We're still leveraging that employer brand, but we're looking for specific skills and experience set and then making culture, value, vision, mission, style matches for you and giving you those top three candidates to interview and select from. And so a couple different models. And then we can teach people how to do that internally much better as well if they want it done within their HR or operations team.
That makes sense. First of all, I have never heard the term purple squirrel, but I'm going to try my best to weave that into everyday conversations to further support the industry. I love it. So, go ahead.
You've never looked for one, Eric, but it makes perfect sense. Once you talk to a client, you're like, oh, I'm looking for a purple squirrel. Okay, here we go.
I will put that term in my tool chest there. I love it. So you mentioned earlier that, maybe even for companies that are just kind of entering the, let's say, established company phase, that doing this internally versus outsourcing, that it can be difficult doing it internally. What are some of the reasons why that's the case for these companies that are just now considering themselves established businesses?
Yep. When you're looking at your resource investment, I mean, the two key areas for you is investment in product or service and investment in business development or sales. And so those are the engines, right, that keep everything going. Mm-hmm. And then from there, operations. So then getting better at product, service, or sales, right, with your operations leadership. And so it's really hard to think about that people operations and HR in terms of investment. oftentimes, as a company's growing, the first move then is human resources. And human resources is important in terms of compliance, people needs, all of those different things that go on, coaching your coaches, developing your managers, getting your company in a place for growth on the people side. But that still doesn't address talent acquisition or recruitment. And I usually argue that Talent Act reports to operations and partners with marketing and partners with HR, because you both are building, you're both doing branding, outreach, and campaigning, and concerned with compliance, compensation, benefits, people needs. And so those are informing what the recruiter is doing, but operations is dictating what's needed and really should be leading the charge on that. And so often a true Talent Act group is reporting to ops, has a solid tech stack, is collaborating with marketing, is collaborating with HR, and is moving things forward. And to have the need for that kind of investment, you're usually much larger and scaling long term.
So if I'm a company and I'm thinking, well, if I just put something up there on the web and I bring somebody in and then sign a contract with them and throw them in an office, it's probably not going to work long term, is what you're saying. There's a whole infrastructure you have to build within your company before you start hiring on any scale completely internal, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that large of a lift, but to do it well and to give yourself enough options, if you don't have that infrastructure, outsource it. Get someone who's great at it to do it for you and get yourself set up to choose from the best out there. Oftentimes, and I've done it, even in my own business, knowing better, you know, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time to filter through all that. There's some thought work at the front end to think about who do you really need, not just pedigree or what you think you need in terms of degree, but what skills, experience, education, and style is really needed to get this job done, to get this deliverable moved forward. And so when you flesh that out, then how do you find that person? How do you attract that person? How do you talk about your organization and your job and the opportunity there in order to get the best people saying, wow, that sounds really cool, I want to learn more, and click apply. And so those are kind of the pieces that we help our clients do really quickly. And then from there, it's a matter of just capacity. It's really, if you do it well, you're getting lots of options. You're filtering down and filtering through and moving things forward, you know, logistically, trying to be on top of timing. We know that it's a candidate short market. So we're in there every day doing it while you're doing your full-time job, which is whatever your role is with your company. And so it can be hard to do both well. And so often you're picking who you know, someone you were referred to, or whoever just applied. And as you're interviewing, all you're hearing is all the good things because you so desperately need this to work that you're not really filtering and finding flags and making sure that there's a long-term match there.
Falling victim to that confirmation bias, right?
Yeah, definitely.
We've got about a minute left and 45 seconds, really. So when you talk about pipelining, which you spoke about earlier, can you do that regionally? Can you think about pipelining? Can you build that reputation? And can you build that pipeline, let's say, in a city like Tucson?
Yes, you can. And, you know, for large companies, they're doing it all the time. People know them. They know, you know, that they're safe, that they're stable. For small companies, it can be harder. So how do you tell your story within Tucson and stand out? And make sure that every time there's an opening, people are really excited, they hit apply. And the candidate experience is such that even if they don't get the job, they're going to look out for the next opening because they've had such a great experience, they want to get there. And that's how you set up a talent community or a pipeline that you can continue to tap into as you grow and move forward.
So the employers that do that really good or really well, excuse me, probably don't have too much of an issue finding talent in the regions that that they're hoping to bring talent from.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has an issue right now, so I don't want to paint the picture.
There you go.
You know, you just do these five steps and you're set. You know, it's always a work in progress. And it, you know, I think it's all of that coming together. It's reputation, it's employer brand, it's pay and benefits, it's working the timing and working with urgency, and then the candidate experience so that they want to come back to you. And they tell all their friends how great the experience was.
Perfect. And we'll have you on next time to continue that conversation. Once again, thank you to Devin Underwood. And thank you for having me, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Thanks, Eric.